These days in Muslim countries, people are celebrating the birthday of Prophet Muhammad. But in Iran, another event has added to the excitement. The 26th International Islamic Unity Conference brought together nearly 1,300 scientific, political, and cultural figures in the Iranian capital, Tehran, on Sunday, January 27th. During the two-day event, participants from over 100 countries discussed ways to promote unity in the Muslim world despite differences of opinion between Islamic sects. The International Islamic Unity Conference is an annual event held during the Unity Week, a week dedicated to celebrating the birthday of Prophet Muhammad. It is sponsored by the World Forum for the Proximity of Islamic Schools of Thought and has been held in Tehran since the forum was established in 1990. Iran considers this of great importance since unity among Muslims can play a decisive role in global politics. In this episode, we will be taking a closer look at this year's conference and the issues raised by the participants. Important cultural and religious figures and famous scholars from major universities such as Al-Azhar in Egypt, as well as other significant educational institutions in Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Tunisia, Syria, Sudan, India, and Pakistan, took part in the 26th International Islamic Unity Conference in Tehran. Mr. Ohadi, Deputy Head of Cultural Affairs at the World Forum for the Proximity of Islamic Schools of Thought, told us how it all began.
In 1919, the leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, tried to institutionalize the concept of Islamic unity and make it academic. That is, to make this public movement academic and formalized. Therefore, the World Forum for Proximity of Islamic School of Thought was established to do so. This forum was introduced to the Islamic world as a kind of parliament. It planned to be a parliament or organization acting like the UN for Muslim people. It is an opportunity for Muslim scholars to congregate and discuss issues, analyze challenges, detect the enemy's plots, and find solutions.
After the victory of the Islamic Revolution, the idea of bringing Muslims closer and encouraging unity among them became a priority. On August 28, 1979, founder of the Islamic Revolution Imam Khomeini pointed out that Islam is not restricted to any race, language, ethnicity, or nationality. All Muslims, no matter what sect or branch they belong to, are brothers and should be treated as equals.
Imam Khomeini moved beyond the realm of Sunnism or Shiism as he announced that the Islamic Revolution is for all of the underprivileged of any sects or ethnicities. Even before the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini had asserted that whoever differentiates between Sunnis or Shias is not Muslim.
Most participants consider the Islamic Revolution a turning point in boosting unity among Muslims.
Literally, every Muslim has accepted the role of Islamic Republic of Iran for the unity of Muslims. Because Iran always tries to mobilize the masses of Muslims towards a right direction. And mainly young generation are accepting the slogans and the goal which has put forward Iran in front of Ummah. And there is no other country, other Muslim country, we can say that they are doing such work.
This is how a new initiative for promoting Muslim unity was born. According to Sunnis, Prophet Muhammad was born on the 12th day of Rabiul Awwal, the third month of the Islamic calendar, while Shias believe that he was born on the 17th. The birthday of Prophet Muhammad is considered an important occasion, and major celebrations are held in the Muslim world. Imam Khomeini named the week in between those two dates Unity Week, turning it into a time when all Muslims celebrate together.
Imam Khomeini was the founder of Islamic unity in Islamic societies. Although some other Islamic scholars had called for the Islamic unity, it was Imam Khomeini who established this concept in Islamic societies. He was the first who practically tried to prepare the foundations for the world of Islam to be united. He made the Sunnis and Shias united. Before the Islamic Revolution, the Sunnis and Shias in Iran had not been united. Imam Khomeini, as the leader of all Muslims in Iran, made them unified, and it was after that the Sunnis and Shias demonstrated their solidarity with each other. This happened not only in Iran, but in many Islamic countries.
Unity among Muslims is not only about boosting solidarity, but also bringing about change and encouraging economic and scientific development. An issue particularly mentioned by President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in the opening ceremony.
Are we going to unite for the sake of the past or for the sake of the future? Suppose we have had meetings for years, discussed and analyzed all historical events, and then achieved unity on the history. So what do we intend to do then? Which one of the current issues would be solved? It does not mean that discussions on historical issues are inherently useless. No. They do help, but an accord on the past cannot project our future. We do not intend to go back to the past. Moreover, I think reaching an accord on the past is somewhat impossible.
Promoting unity in the Muslim world is not an issue raised after Iran's Islamic Revolution. The idea of establishing an Islamic identity was brought up by many Muslim scholars and thinkers during colonialism. What they were particularly wary of was sectarianism and the backwardness of Muslim countries. Some of the most influential figures of those times were Sayyid Jamaluddin Asadabadi, Iqbal Lahuri, Sayyid Qutb, Muhammad Baqir Sadr, and Imam Khomeini.
Now, the disunity started because of the imperialism by especially the British. When they wanted to rule over the Muslim world, they wanted to divide everyone and rule. It's their old saying that divide and rule. If you divide everyone, then it is easier to rule smaller groups, but very difficult to rule a whole of a nation. So they divided Muslims into countries, into nations, languages, races, ethnicities, and then also sectarianism came in. They divided them into religious groups and sects, Shias, Sunnis. Within Sunnis, they divided many groups. Within Shias, they made many groups. So they divided us and divided us further.
An issue pointed out by the participants in the conference was the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. According to speakers at the conference, the predicament was imposed on the Muslim world by colonialists, and the reason why it has not yet been solved is the lack of unity among Muslims.
Obviously, we have many enemies because we are involved in the critical regional and global issues. We need unity. It is necessary that all of the 1.6 billion people be united in order to play actively in the world. Due to the fact that Muslims are living in oil-rich countries with large and talented population, they should come together and be influential in the global issues.
There are many Islamic schools and branches but the two major denominations of Islam include Sunni and Shia. Although the two have many things in common, their followers disagree on certain accounts.
The dominant approach in Al-Azhar University was that all Muslims are a single community or ummah. Sheikh Shaltut's fatwa, for instance, allows the teachings and observance of Shiism in Al-Azhar University. The conflicts between the Shiism and Sunnism are rooted in scientific and juridical backgrounds. These conflicts even exist among Sunni scholars. For instance, the Shafi'i scholars have some disagreements with the Hanafis or Malikis. They have the same thing in Shiism. This discordance is only juridical. It can nurture the history of Islam and Islamic theology. These disagreements should not lead to denunciations or ethnic strife.
Although I am a Sunni myself, I have a lot of respect for the Shia. And we have Shias also who work together with us in order to see that Muslims are united and we work together for the benefit of Muslims in all matters that affect us.
As a result of recent technological developments, many satellite channels promoting Muslim sectarianism have emerged. These channels are run by extremist Muslim scholars, and most of them are diffused from London.
We have many new channels that are emerging. In Europe and in America, where people come and say things that would hurt the feelings of other Muslims, all of the Islamic world, the things which are sacred and holy to many people, they would come and speak against them. Now, many people think that this is just the Muslim feeling. I believe that this is not the Muslim feeling, but this is because of the people who are implanted in the Muslims, people who have been given the power by, you know, the financial support by other people, to come in and speak very openly against the issues that are, hurtful to the Muslims. And once a hurtful image starts in one place, it will continue in other countries and other places. And that's what's happening in the Islamic world at the moment.
On the other hand, mainstream media continues to broadcast the acts of violence committed by extremists and therefore showing only a dark picture of Islam to the world.
The enemies of Islam tend to make Muslim sects and groups divided in order to take advantage. Now the problem is extremism. We are sorry that some extremists introduced themselves as the representative of all Muslims and impaired the face of Islam in the world by trumpeting the messages of violence, condemnation, bomb and explosion. These extremists act exactly in line with the Western powers.
The Western world has played an important and a vital role in dividing the Muslims. All of the British media, the Western media, European and Americans, especially Americans, have given a lot of importance to Persian televisions and now new languages. What they try and do is they hire many people to present and do things that could easily divide, burning issues, things that would really hurt the feelings of people. So they would come and present those issues in a horrible manner that would hurt the feelings of other people. And that's the Western way of controlling the feelings of people.
Sectarian violence takes a heavy toll every year in Muslim countries such as Iraq and Pakistan. At the conference, participants discussed ways to end these brutal attacks.
In fact, even some of the things that we differ upon, it is just something that has been brought up by some extremists. We have extremists on both sides. Now, these extremists are the ones who go to the extent of sometime calling the Shia kafirs or calling the Sunnis kafirs. So we should reject such thing because it's not there. Because we know that these two madhabs came up from the same source, and that is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Holy Quran.
The Middle East and North Africa have always been viewed as regions of multiple resources and strategic interests. The U.S. and its Western allies have been taking advantage of the disagreements between Sunnis and Shias and fanning the flames of division.
Muslim world, as you know, for a long time has been colonized, and the imperial countries of today have mainly survived by using the resources of Muslims. Now, if Muslims come together, then this manipulation and exploitation of their resources will not be possible. And because it will not be possible, then some bigger entities want to prevent this from happening. What Muslims need to do about this is by promoting political awareness and Islamic consciousness.
This unity and friction between Muslims, plus the problems made due to disunity, has been what the West seek. They try to make Muslim communities split. They consequently took industry from us, provoked Muslims to kill each other, and created the atmosphere among Muslim countries thick with tension. Thus, Islamic countries became separate and colonized. But in the near past, it was the opposite. At the time, Muslims were dominant. A large proportion of natural resources in the world, like gas and mines, exist in Islamic countries. Why should we be colonized by Western countries? Because we lost unity.
Unity can bring about important changes. The Islamic awakening, which swept through the Arab world over the past 2 years, was a major display of solidarity among Muslims. Last year, this was the main topic of the 25th International Islamic Unity Conference, and this year, the results obtained from unity during the Islamic awakening were also discussed.
بیداری اسلامی در واقع تحولی است.
In fact, Islamic awakening is a change of outlook on Islam. It is a return to Islam, to political Islam. It is a return to the concept of Islam's administration in society. Before the Pahlavi era, people had not risen against the rulers, governors, and kings. People had accepted them despite the oppression and corruption. The Islamic awakening raised the people's awareness of their situation. That if they want to restore their dignity and respect, they had to dislodge the corrupt rulers.
On February 10, 2012, leader of the Islamic Revolution Ayatollah Khamenei pointed to the relation between the Islamic awakening and unity among Muslims. He said today the Islamic Ummah needs scientific progress. We should treat each other in a brotherly way. Today, the Islamic Ummah needs unity. The uprisings that have taken place in the Muslim world and in the Arab world, the awakening of the people, these are opportunities for Muslims and the Islamic Ummah. We should wake up, we should learn lessons.
We think that the revolutions in Egypt and Tunisia, and also all of the uprisings in the region, were rooted in Islam and Islamic awakening. As they had been influenced by the Islamic Republic, I hope that they would close the embassies of the Israeli regime in their countries and renounce and leave the Camp David Accords. It's necessary that the uprisings in the region move in the right direction. They should ban the Israeli regime economically, culturally, and politically. They should oppose to any negotiations with this regime. These are the measures expected to be taken from the uprisings, and this is what Imam Khamenei hopes.
All Muslims, whether Sunni or Shia, believe in the Holy Quran. Many verses of the Holy Quran call on Muslims to unite and hold fast by the covenant of Allah altogether, and be not disunited, and remember the favor of Allah on you when you were enemies. Then He united your hearts, so by His favor you became brethren.
Disunity is a sign of blasphemy, and unity is the quintessence of Islam. Accordingly, Islamic identity is entwined with Islamic unity. We are not Muslim unless we become united. This is the ideological dimension of the Islamic unity. Beyond that, Islamic societies possess common interests and opportunities. They face common threats from their enemies. The more united Islamic societies are, the stronger they become. They can defend against their enemies strongly if they back each other politically, economically, and scientifically.
اگر جامعه اسلامی یک پارچه شد قوی تر میشه
در قرآن کریم حتی وحدت بین ادیان
According to the Holy Quran, the unity among religions is obligatory. That is, the Prophet, on the behalf of God, is required to make unity and alliance between the followers of different religions. Allah says, say, come to a word that is equitable between us and you, that we will not worship except. It invites other religions to have one single word, one single motto. Let's worship Allah. Let's spread morality in society and lift up our souls with kindness. When Islam speaks on the unity among the followers of different religions, it means that the unity among Islamic sects and groups is the main priority and of great significance.
به طریق اولا مسئله وحدت و همدلی بین مسلمانان بیشتر سفارش شده.
Now after 26 years that the conference has been held, the main question is how successful it has been in promoting unity among Muslims.
One of the weak points of such conferences, not only this one but the other ones, is that despite the atmosphere of dialogue, discussion, interaction and brotherhood, the messages are not wholly transferred to the ordinary people and Muslims. If we intend to make this gathering influential, we have to deploy certain logical methods and procedures to convey the message of these conferences to the people.
حاصل این گفتگوها رو به عامه مردم منتقل بکنیم که در اونها هم تأثیرگذار باشه.
هیئت‌هایی که از کشورهای اسلامی دعوت شدن اینجا
The ongoing dialogues and discussions among the delegates invited to this conference as well as the delegates went to other countries fruited and have had their influence. So we see that in our Islamic academic centers like the Institute in Rome, discussions over the discourse of proximity has been growing. Our books are being published, approved, and studied in Al-Azhar University, while previously their attitude toward us, the Shia, was completely opposite.
We asked some of the participants what they had done to promote unity in their own countries.
Previously, the concept of Islamic unity was not so widespread and discussed. When it was referred to the religious text, unity was preached as a moral code. But now, the World Forum for Proximity of Islamic Schools of Thought accomplished to establish this concept as a matter of faith. It also achieved to make the Islamic unity discussed as an entity of Ilmul Kalam, or Islamic dialectics among Muslim thinkers. This is one of the greatest successes for the Forum for Proximity. I think the Islamic unity has become a universal concept.
In Iran, the majority of the population is Shia. However, a population of Sunnis also lives in some provinces. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution and the designation of the Unity Week, they have all been marking the birthday of Prophet Muhammad with celebrations throughout the country. Participants of the conference took part in one of these major celebrations in Tehran on January 25th. At the same time, celebrations were held in the western Kermanshah province, which has a Sunni population. Both Shias and Sunnis celebrated together.
Thank God, in the Islamic Republic, different Islamic sects and groups, whether the Sunnis or Shias or Kurds or the Fars, live together brotherly. They celebrate the Unity Week every year. During this week, they hold and attend conferences and meetings on the theme of the Islamic unity. We as Muslims should be vigilant. The enemies try to make us divided and take advantage. Thus, according to the Holy Quran and Hadith, and the leader of the Islamic Republic, we should be united in solidarity with each other.
The Muslim world is now at a crucial stage where promoting common points and eliminating the differences can solve many of its problems. Holding conferences like this provide the opportunity for influential figures to devise strategies to boost unity and to implement those strategies in their communities.